I did tell you, I wanted to hear from Joe Shane with a couple of the things that he said yesterday when he met the media.
Yeah, this Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ. Precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. We're going to need some effort from Joe Shane. Can't be effortless like Chef IQ.
Art Stapleton. Do we like him?
Love Art.
We like Art. Art was very classy yesterday, and the reason I'm bringing up Art's name is that one of the things I wanted to be asked of Joe Shane was, why do you still have your job? And I know that's a very direct kind of douchey-in question, but I think it needed to be asked because most Giant fans don't want him back. And I have to give Art credit. He's very classy. He's not a shock jock. He was very classy, and he explained, hey, Joe, a lot of Giant fans don't want you back. Can you explain why you think you deserve to come back? Now, Art, I respected the way you asked the question, but I feel here at WFAN we need to spice it up a little bit. So we decided to go into the archives of WFAN history to its most famous interview. And that, of course, was when Mike Milbury joined Mike and the Mad Dog many years ago, and Christopher Mad Dog Russo was very aggressive in asking Mike Milbury why he still has a job. So before you hear Joe Shane's answer, no offense, Art, we decided to cut you out and insert Christopher Mad Dog Russo asking Joe Shane why he should still have his job. Take a listen.
How are you to the GM?
Well,
you have Chris, done a, you, let's be fair. You got to say it the way it is. You have not done a good job here. And yet you continue to hire and fire coaches. Your drafting is pathetic. You have not done a good job with your trades.
You're
continually sitting
Chris,
in that seat.
Ask the question.
I did. Why is it the GM?
For me, it's, you know, early on I made mistakes. I'm fortunate to have great ownership here where you're allowed to stub your toe and try to course correct. And over the last couple of years, we've been able to add a franchise quarterback. You've been able to add a, you know, number one receiver in Malik Nabers, who, you know, again, I'm looking forward to getting him back. And there are, you know, the defensive line, the pass rushers, there's pieces in place that also make this an attractive job. So looking at where we're going, where the build is, what the plan is moving forward, and seeing the vision through is why I think that's the case, Art.
Do you like his answer? Because obviously it is a fair question, even if Chris asked that very meanly many years ago, which is, why do you still have a job? And I think the way Chris described Mike Milbury actually has a lot of similarities to Joe Shane. You draft a bit terrible. You hire and fire coaches.
You have not done a good job here.
It fits. Do you buy, as someone who didn't want him back, like Sean does not, is not pro Joe Shane, did you like his answer?
No. Okay. It's an expected answer, but no. Here's my issue. He's even in his metaphor, he's underselling what's gone wrong. When you stub your toe, Joe, you fractured the whole damn foot. Like, okay, you hit on Malik Nabers. Jackson Dart, you do deserve credit because you traded up, even if that was a Dable guy. But the worst GMs in football, and even Mike Milbury in hockey, still make positive moves for a franchise. You shouldn't be 100% failure, even if you suck. So what I want to hear is, you're allowed to stub your toe and get better. You started stubbing your toe 5 years ago. Why is it still stubbed? Like, that would be my follow-up to that. You stubbed your toe. How did you not stub it anymore?
Yeah,
you
sure
just won four games. Actually, really only won two games. But
how would you answer this if you're Joe Shane? I mean, obviously, you don't want him back. But if you are asked directly, why should you return as general manager, explain yourself since we can't ask the owners, how would you have answered that?
I'm a big fan of self-ownership. It's how I got through schools, the fat kid with acne. It's how I get through this career, right? So it's simply this. You get in front of what they're going to say or what everybody's going to think about your answer. So I would answer it this way and just say, look, I'm not an idiot. I consider myself a good football mind. A lot of the moves I have flat out sucked. But I do like what I've done the last 2 years. And honestly, if I was hired 2 years ago and you looked at my past first two off seasons, I think everybody could look at that objectively and say, we're building in the right direction. The win total hasn't been good enough. I'm out of swings. I need to get this coach hire right because I do believe the right coach with one more right off season, we are right in the fold in what is a very wide open NFC. Do I deserve to come back? Honestly, under other ownership? Probably not, but I'm thankful for this opportunity, and I'm going to do my damn best to make sure the Giant fans get back to having respectful football.
You can't say under other ownership.
Yeah, sure you can.
Fired.
No, because it's a credit to them. That, you know what? I'm glad they had the leniency. Like, I say it in that way. Yeah. Just other teams probably would have fired me. I'm glad I wasn't because I do think I've built something the last few years.
You know what the problem is? And look, this is very different than when James Dolan doesn't speak until Craig calls him. because John Mara is going through a lot right now. And yes. I don't expect him to have to go in front of a microphone.
No.
But that question of why should you come back isn't for him. It really isn't.
I know.
Just like the question Dog asked of Mike Milbury was really for Charles Wong. It wasn't for the guy who still has a job. The guy who still has a job says, I'm doing the best I can.
Your
and he
drafting is pathetic.
Now, honestly, Evan, and that is like the huge elephant in the room with the New York Giants. And it's so unfair to ask of Joe Shane. And it's unfair of ownership knowing what's going on right now to put anybody in front of a microphone. But I think at the heart of it, all Giant fans want to know right now is Joe Shane being retained due to everything going on with John Mara's illness? I think that's a fair question people want to know, which is, we understand there's real life stuff going on here. Do you not... You're already going through a head coaching search. Can we not go through a GM search too? I think Giant fans want to know that. I don't know who the right person to ask is that. Under other, because we heard John Mara last year when he was healthy say, "I'm running out of patience." Remember that
John was great last year because
great.
He answered all the questions whether you liked it or not.
And nobody in their wildest dreams wants to go through what John and his family are going through right now. So I just would like to know, and I wonder, is Joe Shane the right person to ask this? Is that playing into why Joe Shane is back? I think that's the only question Giant fans want to know right now.
One other question that was asked of Joe Shane I'd like to play, and then we'll get to your telephone calls, 888-808-1019. And that was, will Jackson Dart have a say in who the next head coach is?
Input? He might meet somebody, but I don't know about input. You know, I love him, but he's 22 years old or 23, whatever he is, and he's got 1 year in the league. So could he potentially meet a candidate? Sure, but... you know, we'll make the decision ultimately.
Boy, he just completely bitch-slapped Jackson Dart.
Also, I mean, right now I trust Jackson Dart's football intellect more than Joe Shane.
No, I know, and I think a part of why that question gets asked is because Cam Ward said he wanted to be a part of the process. Input is the word. Obviously, you're not deciding, but do we factor in that person's opinion? And the truth is, here's my opinion on this. I think they should. Now, that doesn't mean he's deciding, but you want someone's input. Like, think of this? Not, should we hire him? But, like, ultimately, you make the decision, but I don't think it hurts to just see what the... I don't care how old he is. I thought that was actually very condescending by Joe Shane. He laughed it off. He talked about his age. Like, what does he know about football? He's not as smart as me. Like, don't you think that when one of the big parts of the job is nurturing that player, you should just see what the player feels about that prospective head coach?
No, we decided to surprise him.
You can make the case...
That was good. You think a James Dolan drop on him.
You could make the case that this hire is just as important for Jackson Dart's financial future as it is Joe Shane's.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Not that Jackson Dart should have the stamp of approval. That's a terrible way to answer that. I think simply you go through the interview process. I think the best way to say it is, look, when we get down to our finalists, will we talk to Jackson as an important part of this future, as we will other players, insert that, even if he doesn't really mean it. Sure, but ultimately we're going to make the final decision on what we think is best for
the team. That's the perfect answer, and that's all I'm saying, too. Yeah. Like, I like input. That would be the way I would do it. If I was ever president of the United States, I'd have so many people in my cabinet who disagree with me, agree with me. Like, I want to hear everything, and then ultimately, if you're the leader, you got to make a decision. So ultimately, I assume it's ownership making this decision. They have to make the decision with all the information at hand, and one of the little bits of information that would be nice to have is what Jackson Dart thinks of that person. 888-808-1019. Jorge in Manalapan. What's going on today, Jorge?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Evan, longtime fan. I started listening to you back in 2007 with Joe when I was struggling my way through all 5 years it took me to graduate college.
nice.
With like an hour commute each way. And hot take, it was the best show still to this day since Mike and Dog.
That was very nice of you. We appreciate it.
I got no problem. So I got one point and I got one quick story. I'll hang up and listen to what you guys think. So as far as the head coaching search, I agree with Sean as far as giving Kafka credit for whatever he did to get maybe Carter back in line and get us playing a little more doggish the last few games. I would keep him as offensive coordinator. Always liked him as one. I think he's done pretty well with varying degrees of talent each year. I'd keep him around just because we need discipline. I would bring in, obviously, a coach with experience. I'd bring in a defensive coordinator with experience, more of a disciplinarian type. It's a young team. They need old school discipline if we want the old school results. That's just my opinion. Raheem Morris is out there. There's going to be other guys out there, I think, that would fit the bill. I'd bring one of those guys in. As far as the head coach goes, I heard an interesting thing the other day. I think someone was talking about it on the Fan with potentially Sean McDermott being out if the Bills don't win the Super Bowl this year. With Joe Shane still being here, got me kind of thinking, are they going to hold out? I mean, they probably will hold out to the season.
They should. But Jorge, it's a great – that's why they should hold out, because – if there's a surprise firing from an underachieving playoff team, and I think the Buffalo Bills not getting to a Super Bowl is a disaster.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as a division rival trying to put too much pressure on them. The door is open for them.
They're not going to get to Monday.
Well, I disagree with you. I think they're getting to the Super Bowl, but okay, we disagree. Okay. We'll make our picks and we'll all break it down as the week goes on. But I do think that you continue the process as long as possible just in case there's a surprise entrant. With that said, I'm going to be very open and honest about this. I can't stand Sean McDermott. I think he's scum. I think what he did with his, I'm going to pump the team up by saying they should be terrorists from like 9/11, and then his non-apology, I can't stand looking at him. So I am going to remove myself from that question. Would you want Sean McDermott to be the head coach?
I've learned, unfortunately, to pay attention to the on-the-field resume as opposed to the off-the-field stuff as much as that disgusts me. But even the on-the-field stuff, he doesn't interest me as much as Kevin Stefanski. He just doesn't. He's had Josh Allen. He's done wonders. But, like, again, I'm getting into that Mike McCarthy territory. If you couldn't get it done there, getting over the hump, what makes me think you're going to get it done here?
David's up in Michigan. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Great, great show. You are my favorite show since I've been listening since 1988.
Well, that's very kind.
So,
very kind.
I want to talk about this perspective. I don't know if Sean saw any of my tweets, but as far as whether the Giants should have won those last two games, whether they should fire Shane, here's my perspective. This is a business. I spent 40 years, I'm retired now, I spent 40 years as a journalist writing about business for big business magazines and newspapers. If this was a real company, okay, not run by somebody born to dynastic wealth like John Mara or Woody Johnson, these guys would have been, all of them, Mara, Shane, and the other owner would have been fired 5 years ago by a responsible board. These guys are terrible at their jobs. The only reason that this isn't happening is because John Mara, and God bless him and his battle, he's a terrible manager, as most dynastic wealth owners are. And I'll give you an example of a guy who did it right. Bill Ford, who's a guy I covered in my life, was born to dynastic wealth. He took over as CEO at the behest of his father.
Yeah, but wait, because I'm going to go back to the dynastic owners in this town. How about the guy who was here yesterday?
Uh-huh.
James Dolan. He sucked as an owner.
He did.
Dynastic wealth. Now we view him as a pretty good owner. Now, ask the question, why? What happened? Did James Dolan have a come-to-Jesus moment when it came to ownership? He found the right guy.
That's all it's about.
That's what this is all about. And I'll defend John Mara and Woody Johnson in this regard. They are terrible owners. As of right now, based on results, you cannot argue with me. That's not me being mean. Those are the facts. The people they have hired have failed for a decade. Good people, nice people, that's irrelevant. They have done a terrible job owning their teams. But I firmly believe if Woody Johnson accidentally hired the right guy, the way James Dolan may have accidentally hired the right guy on Leon Rose, he'd let him cook.
Yeah.
If John Mara hires the right guy, he'd let him cook.
I agree.
And unfortunately, as angry as we get at owners, the way I did about the Wilpons for all those years, they're the owners.
Right.
They're not going anywhere. So we can criticize them, which is fair game, as long as we're respectful. Uh-huh. And I think everything I just said is fact-based, so I'm being respectful. But nothing's going to change it.
Do you think they want to get this wrong? Like, do we think John Mara wants to get the Joe Shane situation wrong?
No, of course not.
So that's it. It's just about, you're right. Get it right. That's it. Get it right. That's all we care about. And then we'll look at him as great owner. Period.
Get it right.
Get it right.
And then we won't fight.
Yes.
That's not good.
That, you're going to need to work on that.
Yeah, sorry about that. Tim is in Mottville. Good afternoon, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I just had a question. Of course, anytime. Oh, excuse me. I just had a question for Sean. If he is still going to boycott the U.S. hockey tournament at the Olympics like he did for the Four Nations because he's afraid of his blue skirts getting hurt.
Okay. First of all, there's enough of them hurt already.
Now, let me clarify before you answer the question. So when the NHL had the Four Nations tournament last year that a lot of hockey fans loved, Sean was very anti the tournament. He wouldn't watch it. He boycotted it because he didn't like the idea of NHL players in the middle of a regular season competing in a tournament that had nothing to do with the team he roots for and the teams in the NHL. As Tim points out, I almost forgot about it, but the Olympics are coming up.
Uh-huh.
And the NHL is doing the same thing. It's why the Islanders don't have the All-Star game this year. It's next year. They're shutting the sport down so that guys can compete in the Olympics. He wants to know, Sean, are you pulling the same boycott you pulled a year ago, or are you a giant hypocrite?
Okay, so this is complicated. And last year when you heard me rail on the Four Nations, my issue was I'm not a fan of made-up tournaments out of thin air. Just the same thing with the NBA in season. Great for the sport, all of it. I didn't like shutting down the sport for 2 weeks for it. The Olympics are the Olympics. There's something standard about it. However, I've been majorly turned off the last couple weeks hearing players talk about the Olympics. Adam Fox didn't make the Olympic team. JT Miller did, and Vincent Trocheck did. And this idea, like JT Miller was hurt, and the idea of, well, he's, you know, he looks like he's on track to be ready for the Olympics. I don't give a crap if he's on track to get ready for the Olympics. Go out there and play for the hockey team that is paying you to play. I don't like the way the NHL has now turned this Four Nations into the Olympics. So this is seemingly what these players care about more, and I find it disgusting, frankly.
Speaking of hockey, Big Mac, who will be with Craig Carton coming up at 2 o'clock. I have great respect for you, Big Mac. I'm going to break the secret. No one knows about this. It was private between me and you, but what you did was a test, and you passed the test, okay? So yesterday, Sean, I, and Tiki made a short-term bet on what Chris McMonagle's question for James Dolan would be. His first question for James Dolan would
be. McGonagall.
And so my guess was he's going to ask about Chris Drury. What Tiki and Sean didn't know is I privately went to Big Mac and said, could you do me a favor?
Are you serious?
I said, we kind of made this bet on the air. Do you mind making sure your first question is about Chris Drury? And Big Mac did the honorable thing. He said, let me see where the interview is going.
Ah.
Like, I'm not just going to commit to it. So that's what you did. Yes. Obviously, James Dolan kind of like picked on you a little bit. But outside of that,
we just decided to surprise him.
I went right back to get it. But yeah, no. First of all, I just want to make it clear that I had no intention of cheating on any bet.
Okay.
He texted me, what's your first question to Dolan? That's it. He didn't say, hey, we have this bet, we have this thing. He said, what's your first question to Dolan? And I said, I don't know. You know, whatever I answered. And then I went back and listened because I know this clown. And then he came out and he's like, oh, listen, feel free to make it about Drury. I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm not making it about, if that's where it goes, if we get to the Rangers by the time I ask my first question, which was on the table, by the way.
I know.
So, but yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah, were you embarrassed with your stuttering in front of him?
I don't think I stuttered that bad
in
front of him.
He didn't stutter. It's that Dolan gave him crap.
I just wanted to see if he
I kind of said, you know, well, did you go to, how would I put it? I think, did you go to Tom? We completely surprised him.
It was fine. Like, it was a funny
We can replay it for you, but you don't have headphones, so you may not be able to hear.
That's fine. I remember what it was.
All right. Well, the audience may not, so maybe.
Okay. Now, did you go to Tom and discuss these changes, or did you just and take his...
No, we decided to surprise him with...
We so perfect.
All right, Big Mac. We love you.
That's
and good job being honorable, because honestly, that would have been a bad job.
You think I would like go out of my way to ask the question that you want to on-air bet with them?
Here's what sneaky and shady.
He did text me. He admitted it. I would not. Here's the honorable part I would have kept. I would have never told them that you texted me.
Thank you.
That I would have never done. You admitted that on your own.
Here's the real question.
Yeah.
What's your first question for Rob Manfred when he joins you guys on Thursday? You better have some.
I got some for Rob Manfred.
Oh, God.
That's tomorrow on Thursday?
Thursday. Yeah.
What time is that at? I got to clear my schedule.
I want to say he said 4:30.
All right.
But
that's the most excited. I've known you for years. Most excited I've been for you.
Talk to Rob Manfred?
You and Rob Manfred,
well,
I'm in.
Apparently Boone's coming in, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's not as
Boone's exciting. A nice guy.
I mean, Boone's just, come on. He's a nice guy,
I got to play up the Yankee Shill thing.
Will you
I'm very, very excited.
Will you be able to talk or just lips on his ass cheeks?
No, yeah, I'll go right for him. I'm going to make sure. That was the only reason that I made sure we had the seats separate, is that I could have Boone next to me when he comes in.
Good for you.
Yes, otherwise, you know.
Show going to start on time today?
I hope so.
All right.
Heard about that. Great job, Big Mac. You're awesome.
That was fun.
You guys did a great job.
All right. See you guys.
I genuinely
nice toy show, Toy Story shirt. I love it.
Thank you. It's all the buzz.
Chris McMonagle. He'll be on with Craig coming up at about 2:11 or 2:07, whatever time he is. For those that are not aware, the show had some minor technical issues. It started a few minutes late. Yeah. So it was not Big Mac's fault. It wasn't Craig's fault. It was nobody's fault.
Could have potentially been my fault. I could have helped out Pete loading something.
Could have been Sean's fault. Wasn't it? Was nobody. Listen, sometimes things happen. Yeah. Let's go to Andrew down in Jupiter, Florida. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
Just wanted to throw my hat into the ring with the idea for the Giants head coaching spot. But I'm going to preface this point by saying that I'm a Jets fan, unfortunately. And I know, Evan, you named one of your kids after the Jets. I do everything I can to keep my kids away from the Jets because they just – you don't want that life. They are the worst franchise, not only in the NFL, but in all of sports. And it's not even close. But that's a discussion for a different day. If the Giants really want to get serious, they go after Bill Belichick. Oh. And if you're Joe Shane – If you're Joe Shane and your job is on the line, you get this wrong, you're done. I go out with Bill Belichick, and if it doesn't work out, then what are you going to do? Like, I mean, if I can't get that right, then
yeah. Here's the way I view Bill Belichick, and I wouldn't want to hire him. But I mentioned to you earlier, I'm a very open-minded guy, and I want to hear everything. I even mentioned with my criticism of Aaron Glenn last year, I didn't have an issue with him not bringing Rodgers back. I had an issue with him not talking to Aaron Rodgers. You needed to be open-minded. You needed to have a discussion. And I thought that was the first thing I ripped Aaron Glenn about. Most people didn't have a big issue with it. I know Tiki kind of downplayed it. But you remember that. I had a big issue with it. I said, talk to the guy. There's something you can learn. I bring that up because you should absolutely call Bill Belichick. Would I hire him? Probably not. But I would absolutely converse with him.
Okay.
See if there's an interest. See if there's a conversation. I'm not sure how this works because he's obviously a currently active college coach. Does he need permission? Does he do it secretly? Is it a clandestine meeting? I said that wrong. Clandestine. Where's Tiki?
Is it clandestine?
Whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A secret meeting in the middle of the night.
The Roscoe Diner.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
How about that?
That's what I would do. So before you get angry or anyone gets angry about, I want to hire Bill. I actually don't want to hire Bill, but I do believe you got to be open-minded when you're talking about all-time greats. Aaron Rodgers was an all-time great. There should have been a discussion. Bill Belichick is an all-time great. There should be a discussion.
I don't mind that. Even picking his brain, even if you don't plan on hiring him, and you know maybe you pick up on something there that leads you in the right direction of the right coach, I'm with you. The truth about Bill Belichick, guys, is like, just watch him now. Watch him with the Jordan Hudson stuff. He just feels like Weekend at Bernie's. Like somebody's just propped up what used to be Bill Belichick, and he's there, and it's weird now. There's too much there for me to touch
on. I hate to say it, but I kind of agree with you. I kind of do. Quick baseball note, including an update on our free agency bingo here at Evan and Tiki with Sean Morash. Toll-free numbers 888-808-1019. The second edition of the Cinco de Luncho coming up shortly. Every day, right around this time, it's your Cinco de Luncho.
Sean Morash in the booth, somebody hide the castle. Optics flying, phones ringing, Evan's yelling.
No!
Tiki's laughing, chaos cracking, nobody's in control. It's Cinco de Luncho. Bam! Crunch! Let's go!
Cinco de Luncho is, of course, brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. All right, it's the Tuesday after the NFL season. I guess we call it, whatever, Purple Tuesday at this point. The top five figureheads New York football fans should be most pissed at after the season.
The top five figureheads?
Yeah, people. Figureheads, okay. Whatever.
All right, go ahead.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
I don't care that you're already fired. Shane Bowen, you useless defensive coordinator turd. The Giants, I want to take us back to August. Look at all this defensive talent. Look what they added in the secondary. Look at their pass rush. And their defense was one of the worst in football, and they blew all those fourth quarter leads. I don't care. He's been fired for weeks. He's still in the top five. Shane Bowen ruined the season.
It's all Brian Daboll's fault. Let's go back 2 years when the Wink Martindale-Brian Daboll breakup occurred. There were reports that no one wanted the job, and they ended up with Shane Bowen, and he did a terrible job for the year and a half he was here.
That's a shame. All right, here we go.
Number four.
Aaron Glenn, the tough guy act, killed him this year. Oh, ask Rich Shemini about the quarterback. It was just a terrible approach all year that if we came to the end of the year and they were getting their doors blown off, maybe we'd have some leniency in his first year. But I truthfully believe, even as bad as it went, we wouldn't be screaming and yelling about should he survive, should he be one of them, as hard as we were, if we got an early better taste of him.
I can't say you're wrong. I just disagree with it. Like,
okay.
It doesn't change my view. My view on Aaron Glenn is the football view, which is that it was terrible. I mean, I admit, I come on the radio, I'm one of the few guys around here who still wants him to have a job, and it's more based on kind of the nature of going one and done and trusting Woody Johnson and Darren Mooji to like start over after 1 year in which you traded two of your best defensive players in the middle of the year. I admit, like, my argument for Aaron Glenn has very little to do with Aaron Glenn, but I don't think it's fair to use his handling of the media and his tough guy act as a strike against him.
Okay, here we go.
Number three.
It's Joe Shane, somehow not number one. Does he even listen to his own beliefs about learning from mistakes? How about the guaranteed money to Russell Wilson, to James Hudson? Not exactly completely getting everything out of your third round pick, Darius Alexander, although stock up on him. This wasn't a great offseason for Joe Shane, and it proved it. Here we are with another crappy year with a crappy record, and the guy's sticking around.
Yeah, he's got moves that are really good, but he's also got a lot of bad ones. Brian Burns was an awesome move.
How about Graham Gano was still the kicker on this team?
Okay.
Here we go.
Number two.
Jets ownership. The biggest reason Aaron Glenn was the guy to begin with, and also simultaneously can't be fired after 1 year, is how unappealing the Johnsons have made the Jets as a job.
It's a huge part of it. And it's just the failures of the last decade and a half. It's not just Woody Johnson having a horrible reputation as owner. It's the results.
Yeah, no doubt. And here we go.
Number one.
Giant ownership. And I'm obviously sympathetic for what is going on over there with the New York Giants and Mr. Mara. But Joe Shane staying is just, I can't wrap my head around how unacceptable that is to a Giant fan base that has been as patient and as trustworthy with this organization as can be. And I think I speak for a lot of Giant fans. I know Tiki and I disagreed with each other on this. The idea that Joe Shane is sticking around. Now, it could work out. They could get Ryan Poles, and we'll all have egg on our face. I think it's a disgrace to Giant fans that they're returning the general manager, and I think that's who you should be most pissed at here following the season.
There you go. Very good list. Every day, right around this time, your Cinco de Luncho. Back in the middle of November, right at the beginning of MLB free agency, we all played a game of MLB free agency bingo where we guessed where all the top free agents would go. We do have an update. Munetaka Murakami, a couple weeks ago, signed with the Chicago White Sox. I'm curious, because it's been a while, did any of us predict Murakami to the Chicago White Sox? Let's go to our prediction desk with Connor Green. Who should we start off with, Connor?
Let's start off with you, Evan. How about
that? All right, let's go. Evan Roberts. All right, I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners. I was wrong. Who's next?
Let's do Tiki.
Dodgers.
Yeah, he was wrong. Who's next?
We have Tommy Lugauer.
I'm going to go Seattle. I think Josh Naylor leaves, and that's the replacement.
Copying my idea. That's okay.
And then last but not least, Sean.
Angels.
Wow. So we all got it wrong. Munetaka Murakami signed with the Chicago White Sox. Mm. But what really jumped out at me over the weekend, and I briefly want to hit on this because this is annoying me as the days have gone on, is that Kazuma Okamoto signed a contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. I am very uncertain about a guy coming from Japan because what do I know about him other than looking at Baseball Reference? Okamoto made so much freaking sense for both the Mets and the Yankees. He is a right-handed hitting first baseman, third baseman, who's known to be a good defender, who put up awesome numbers in Japan, hits for power, doesn't strike out a lot. He seems perfect. The Yankees have a third baseman in Ryan McMahon who can't hit lefties.
Uh-huh.
They have a first baseman in Ben Rice who's going to get the opportunity to play all the time. Having a guy like Okamoto would have been perfect. Where were the Yankees? Where were the Mets? They still don't have a real first baseman on this roster. Brett Beatty had a good couple of months, but we can't be so sure of him at third base. And then when you see what he signed for, a very reasonable four-year, $60 million contract, I don't want to scream, and hopefully I'm not screaming, so I'm going to lower my voice, because at the end of the day, I don't know what this player will be. I just know what he's described as. And what he's described as is a perfect fit for either team. And neither team showed interest, and I can't figure out why.
The only thing I could guess is, and maybe this is different from the Mets perspective, although the Mets feel like they've tightened the wallets this offseason too. They're afraid if they only have so much money to spend internally of making a mistake on an unknown. That's the only thing I could wrap my head around. That they don't know, their scouts don't know, so why go the extra mile if it's not bottomless pockets for the Yankees and Mets?
Well, I mean, but one of the moves they made is the unknown of Devin Williams being able to replace Edwin Diaz. Another unknown move they made
They didn't make that move, we don't think, thinking he was replacing Edwin Diaz.
Well, they ended up doing it.
And then they backed it up by getting Luke Weaver, who's probably going to replace definitely.
We'll see. And also Jorge Polanco, who's a nice little player, but he's not a first baseman. He's never played first base. So they've done plenty of unknowns so far during the offseason. And by the way, I got an email, and I'll read it more on the Rico from a Met fan who says, Evan, you're the biggest shill ever on the Mets.
All right.
You've softened on your anger. And what I want to explain very calmly, and I think you're going to understand this more than anybody, is I'm still pissed. I am still massively disappointed about what's happened this offseason. But what I do, because I think it's healthy and it's just the right thing to do, is after I scream and yell and I get it off my chest, I live with the fact that this is the team. Doesn't mean I'm happy about it. Doesn't mean I'm rationalizing about it. But I'm no longer going to just freak out every time we talk about Pete Alonso. Now, Joe can't do that. And I respect the hell out of Joe. But you hear it. Like every time he comes on, and I respect him. It's why we're different. He's just, it goes back. Can you believe Starman? I'm pissed too. But I also realize that at some point I just have to live with it. And I've learned this over about you for the last 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You may not want Mike McCarthy. I'll use him as an example. If they hire him and we go a day or two of you explaining why you didn't want him, by day three, he's the head coach.
That's what it is.
So I say this to him or anyone else. I just think this is the way we have to act as sports fans. In fact, I'll quote Craig, who's on later today at 2. He always said, you scream and yell, and then you hope for the best.
Yes.
When they hire someone you don't want. So it's kind of the same thing. Like, I wanted Edwin Diaz back. I don't want Devin Williams to replace him. I don't want Jorge Polanco playing first base. I didn't want any of this stuff. But I'm going to hope I'm wrong.
Well, you hit on it. And I've had to learn this the hard way over the years. Probably when I got a microphone in front of my face and you realize everything is on tape that you say. All of you listening, all of us here, we are wrong more than we're right, whether we want to admit it or not, when it comes to sports decisions and teams. And all you can hope for when you're mad at your teams about certain decisions is that is one of those instances. Because what are you going to do? You're going to boycott the Mets the next 4 years until Alonso's
no.
time? Of course not. So you hope that they nailed it and they figured this out and they're on the right track. And that's all you can do. You got to hope you're wrong in your anger.
I'm going to tell you something that is fascinating to me. And I'm kind of confused by it. As a Met fan, and I'll bring the Yankees involved as well, I received an email about 20 minutes ago with the current 2026 MLB win total over-unders.
They came out?
As of right now. Obviously, a lot can change in the offseason. To give you a perspective, last year the Yankees over-under was 93.5. As things stand right now, what do you think their over-under is?
Well, they can't have it higher with no Bellinger, and I'm going to go 89.5.
No, it's the exact same thing, 93.5. Which I find odd.
Yeah.
Like, it's exactly the same.
Not going to start the month with healthy pitching.
Now, let's get to the Mets, because I think that's even more interesting. Last year, the Mets over-under was 91.5. Considering all that they've lost, what do you think their over-under is? And remember, they also won 82 games, 83 games last year?
87.5.
Yeah, you're right. It's 86.5. Why is it that high? 86.5? So they have the Mets winning more games than last year. Meanwhile, their roster, I think we'd all agree, has gotten significantly worse.
Ken, you're not allowed to reveal the book that it's on?
Yeah, I can reveal. I apologize. Let's see the email. From Jimmy Shapiro, good guy. This is courtesy of betonline.ag.
Okay.
Please mention us when mentioning these. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, I think, is a useful website for gamblers. A lot of it can be done offshore, and therefore the numbers can get a little kooky early. The full books in Vegas have not been set yet.
Okay, so you're saying these numbers are fugazi?
Yeah, now they might be close to what you normally get, but most
86
of the
86.5.
A lot of those books are probably going to release them in late January.
I'm going to play a game with every Met fan right now. Yankee fans are complicated, but I'll do it with both of you, all of you guys. And answer this on your own. We're not going to take calls about it. We got plenty of time to talk about it. Just answer it in your own head on January 6th. Would you be okay with an 86 win season if you're a Met fan? And as a Yankee fan, would you be okay with a 93 win season? And I can't believe I'm saying this, but based on the current roster of the New York Mets, the answer is yes. I was signed for that. What a loser I am.
Okay, so my answer is yes for both teams, but like last year, we would have been thrilled with 93-86 based on how the league shook out. Mm-hmm. You also got to tell me what everybody else around
86, I don't think gets you in, Sean. Like, there's no, it would have last year, but it wouldn't have the year before.
I should rephrase that. I mean that more for the Yankees with 93. Like, we didn't get a 100-win team in the American League last year, so 93 would shine a little more. You know, 93 wins, if the Blue Jays are winning 101 and the Red Sox are winning 99, you're not going to love it. That's all.
No, it is definitely based on everybody else. I mean, like, the Mets are a great example, and the Yankees too, but the Mets last year, 86 is enough. The year before, 86 is short.
Sure.
So it depends on the year. Back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Eddie is in Rockland. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Evan, one thing on the Giants, but before that, a day-old donut-eating contest, Marash or C-Mac? Who's your money on?
Sean, he's very aggressive when he gets competitive. I'll go with Marash.
Like a pit bull, right?
He's fat!
Yeah, like a pit bull. I agree with you. Good assessment.
Chris takes his time. I just breathe it all.
Chris enjoys something he likes. Sean just breathes it down his throat.
Me and my wife once got in and out of an Applebee's 3 courses, 19 minutes. Hand to God.
I saw a belly.
All right. What else you got, Eddie?
On the Giants, you talk about all the big names, but if they're keeping Shane and you're a big-name coach, isn't your reputation, why would you want to connect your reputation to Shane?
I think the big name is going to run the show. That's my interpretation. And if that's not the case and they're not interested, then clearly it is a huge mistake keeping Joe Shane. But my understanding would be Mike Tomlin would basically take the job and laugh at Joe. I'd be like, okay, Joe, you work for me.
Right.
That's how I would take it.
I tell you what to do.
Yeah. Let's go to Jonathan in Long Beach. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Talking about the Giants head coach, I think one name that people aren't talking about enough is Kevin Stefanski, who just got fired from the Browns. I mean, the guy's a former coach of the year. If you see what he's dealt with the last few years, you can't really blame him for how they've been playing. And I think the Browns were completely wrong for firing him. And if Joe Shane wants to save his job, I think you got to look at Kevin Stefanski as number one.
Well, it's interesting, Jonathan. And Sean's freaking out. Sean's got to learn radio, okay? We've been on for 2.5 hours. Sean didn't listen at 10 a.m. But what I would advise you is at the top of the show, and you can rewind on the Odyssey app, Sean and I had a little bit of a debate on Kevin Stefanski. To Sean, that's the guy. That's like his dream hire. To me, I'm lukewarm about it. Like, I have reservations. The fact that he has stripped himself of play calling the last 2 years, the fact that the offensive numbers were as bad as they were, the fact that Baker Mayfield regressed, the fact that his record over the last 2 years is awful. Like, I don't think he's a horrible hire, but it doesn't jump out at me the way it does Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And you love him.
I do love him. And this isn't about how radio works. I'm just going to say this, Evan. If your take is somebody that nobody's really talking about, I'm okay if you didn't hear the beginning of the show and the turns over. Here's what I'm not okay with.
Oh, God.
Every single Giants reporter online has tweeted in the last 12 hours about Stefanski. We started the show about Stefanski. Boomer and Gio talked about Stefanski. Any Giant podcast, I do half of them talked about Stefanski.
Sean, you're not being fair.
No.
A lot of people have lives. They're not listening to every second of this radio station.
I'm fine with
being
that.
On Twitter constantly.
You're misunderstanding. That's fine, but then you
don't say no.
You can't say nobody's talking about it because you're not anywhere where anybody's talking about Giant football.
I know, but no one's talking about it is just a phrase. We don't have to take it literal.
Hey, I'm not sure if this has been mentioned anywhere, but Kevin Stefanski. And we answer the question. We'll reset what we did at 10. Everybody's talking about Stefanski.
I know, but you get so annoyed by that. It's just a phrasing. It's a phrasing. Yeah, I mean, look, we all use these crutch phrases. Like, can I ask you something? Or I'll be honest with you. Those are a couple of things I do, and I always try to cut it out. I do it, unfortunately. Yeah. You do it, too. And I think no one's talking about is just a crutch phrase.
You're right.
So don't attack the guy.
I need the
guy. He took time out of his day to call up Sports Talk Radio and give an opinion on a coach that you also want to hire.
And I guess that's what would be the point. I know I've been talking about Kevin Stefanski for a month on 15 different platforms. So people are talking about it.
Chris in Bayshore. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, man.
What's up, Chris?
Good. Listen, first I got a Marash story, and then I got a Giant point, but I just want to say my son and his buddies went to the Ranger Island game, and they ran into Marash, and they said he was a first-class guy.
How about that?
You know, didn't big league anybody, gave him the time of day, talked to him, good Ranger hockey stuff, so he's got to get credit for that.
Appreciate it,
Chris. Not surprised when I heard about it, but anyways, baseball guy, and that's how we roll.
I'm
anyway,
South Shore trash, Chris, is as rich as they come.
You're talking to another one. There you go. Anyway, so I think I was curious to see after Black Monday who you guys think is the front runner for the Giants job. I still say if I had my druthers, I would go with Harbaugh if he was available, but he's really not available. So based on the six guys or whatever guys that became available, who would your each individual front runners be, and how feasible is that?
Without those guys who are available.
Now, think about this. His question, just to again reinforce it, is not who you would hire.
Uh-huh.
It's who you think the Giants would hire. Because those are two very different things, as we all know.
Yeah.
So based on who's available And we actually did this as one of our show prediction, long-term predictions. Right after they fired Brian Daboll, I went around the room and said, who do you think they're going to hire? Now, I have the list right in front of me. It was on 11-11, November 11th.
Okay.
I went around the room and said, this is not who you're endorsing. This is who you think they're going to hire. And I'm going to remind you who all of us said.
I know who I said.
Do you remember who you said?
I do, because I think he still would be top five on my list on who I think they would hire.
Go ahead.
Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce, who is, I've read, I think we all have, is going to get an interview.
Right.
Tommy Lugauer, still a part of our station, if not our show, said Cliff Kingsbury, which I think is still very much alive.
Yeah.
Tiki predicted, even though he doesn't want the guy, Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And my prediction was Lou Anarumo. I think all of those guys are still distinct possibilities to be the next head coach of the New York Giants.
I would agree.
You're standing by what you said in November, that if you had to guess, like it's all on the line for you, you think at the end of the day Antonio Pierce is the head coach?
No, I don't.
So who is it?
Now, again, I am hard subject to change. If Harbaugh or Tomlin become available, scrap this from the record.
But that's not the question is who do you think? So if you think Mike Tomlin's going to become available, say Mike Tomlin.
I don't think they're going to become available right now. I thought Harbaugh, I don't. So right now, I think I would be stunned if Kevin Stefanski is not the Giants coach.
Kind of lean that way.
Stunned.
Kind of lean that way. Just on his availability, offensive-minded, it seems to fit. But I don't want to move away from my Lou Anarumo prediction.
Yeah. Well, I think that's right up there. I think he's going to be a finalist, Lou.
Let's go to Mike in Westchester. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Evan?
Yo.
So happy you guys are on during the day to listen to you more. If I was the Giants, you're going to think I'm crazy, and I'm a Jet fan, I would be on the phone with Rex Ryan right now.
As the head coach of the team or as a defensive coordinator?
As the head coach of the New York Giants.
I am so mixed, Mike, because there's a part of me that would want to see it happen. Because there are so many Giant fans, Sean being one of them, that was so arrogant and dismissive and hateful towards Rex Ryan and his successful era as Jets head coach. So there's a part of me that would want to see them have to kind of come up with, oh, I like Rex. But then the other part of me as a Jet fan, it would kill me if he had success with the Giants.
Which is kind
of
why I'm interested.
Am I willing to risk the pain for the potential glory?
Not even in the top five of who I would hire, but that's one you could talk me into a frenzy of real quickly if he got near the finalist job.
Talk me into a frenzy as in being upset or being excited?
Being excited.
Really?
And in hindsight, I look back at how much...
Time
is allowed to mend and change things, right? I look back at last year where we mocked the Jets about talking to him, and we see the year that Aaron Glenn had, and I look back and I go, Rex Ryan would have been the right hire for the Jets last year. I actually believe that. I think him coming back...
Yeah, I mean, looking at it now...
I think he would have been hungry.
Couldn't have been worse.
Now, look, I don't think you're... And this is kind of where I'm going to be hypocritical. Remember, I said I think Mike McCarthy's a guy who lasts 3 years. I don't think Rex Ryan's lasted a decade, which is a big flaw here. But I think a team, if you believe the roster is as close as it is... I think Rex sitting on the sidelines as long as he had, I think he'd be hungry. I think the defense would be after it. And I do think he has enough NFL connections to hire the right staff. I'd be more into it than you think.
Let's go to Vinny in Tom's River. What's going on, Vinny?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Question. I know what the Knicks are losing these days. The Nets.
Who?
What's your interest in Trae Young?
Okay, are you asking this to me as a Knicks fan out of curiosity, or are you a Brooklyn Nets fan as well out of curiosity?
I am a Brooklyn Nets fan, and what about Cam Thomas for Trae Young and throwing the pick?
Well, hold on. See, this is the whole key to this.
The Nets still in the league?
I don't love Trae Young, and I don't love building around Trae Young at 27 years old making $45 million a year. If you are telling me that I'm getting Trae Young the way they got Michael Porter, which is I'm getting a pick, I'm taking on the contract, fine. Let me see how it works with my young players. But I don't think that's the way this trade market's going to work. I think Trae Young is still valuable. I think a team like the Wizards will give up assets for him. And my answer is no, I am not interested in using my treasure trove of assets in acquiring Trae Young. The guy I'd be more intrigued by is Ja Morant. And I know he's got his off-the-court questions, but that would be the reclamation project, if you will, that I would have more interest in than Trae Young.
Would you have more interest in Trae Young if you knew the Nets had a top three pick next year and this was at this time next year?
Nah, I'm...
Like, if they've added whoever we think the foundation piece
is going to be. I'm soured on him, honestly. I really have.
All right. I think that we're a year off in the timeline, and if I'd be interested.
The thing that would be fun is I think Knicks fans would enjoy it. Like, they would enjoy the Nets, who are so irrelevant right now.
Hapless Nets.
Like, having them bring in a player that you guys hate would just make it'd be fun fodder. That's all it would be. Like, you guys wouldn't be scared of us, but it would be like, oh, yeah, I hate the Nets. Because right now, no one hates the Nets. But I think Trae Young being there and being his Trae Young self would cause like a, oh, yeah, I hate those guys.
Trae Young would be at restaurants and clubs in New York City getting badmouthed in his own town.
I understand.
Be incredible.
Yes, it would be kind of funny is what you're saying. But I'm not interested. Alan in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I wanted to piggyback off that Ja Morant to the Nets. I wouldn't even do that because his health has been a problem for the past couple of years now. So
I know, but he's got such superstar potential in him. He's still only 26 years old. Like, I don't know, man. I would do it. I'm not saying I'm trading all my treasure trove of picks. I'm still intoxicated by the potential of Ja Morant more so than Trae Young. That's just me.
Yeah, at one point I thought he was actually going to be the next face of the league until, of course, the off the court issues.
But that's the other thing I wonder about, Alan. Like, I think a change of scenery could help him. And I know, is Brooklyn the right change of scenery? Look, the Nets are not. You know what they are. Like, they're the little team.
But it's New York City.
I know, but there's been no attention on them.
The hapless Nets.
The guy's got a background with, like, guns.
I know. I guess I don't make sense. The truth is the Nets should not be trading for superstars. The only one that, like, if Anthony Edwards becomes available, let's go. Let's cook.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's not happening.
Tell you something.
Not yet, at least.
What? Anthony Edwards comes to a team that plays on the Yes Network. We could retire A-Rod's number once and for all with owning Minnesota.
There you go. Let's go to Tyler on Long Island. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going? Good. I just wanted to come on here and say that I think that the New York Jets might be the worst franchise in all of sports.
They are.
I don't think they will ever win.
Take the might be away. They are the worst franchise in all of sports right now. Take the might be away.
Yes, I don't think that's ridiculous. I mean, my whole life, I'm 17 years old. My whole life, they have never been good.
May I ask you a question? Never. Why aren't you in school right now if you're 17 years old? What's going on?
I get out early. I'm a senior. I get out early.
In the new Tyler, what school do you go to?
I go to St. Demise.
No.
He is a fraud and a complete liar.
St. Demise and North do not get out in the new era. This is a dude cutting to go to Wendy's.
You know Ball. No, we do. We get out.
No, you don't. My cousin played DN for St. Demise. He went till 2.
I leave after 7:30.
No, listen to W. Tyler, you're at the Wendy's by Island 16. I know you are.
Tyler,
right now.
Senior year doesn't count. Keep cutting, baby.
I'm at the Chipotle, but you're closed.
I knew it. I knew it.
It was nailed where these guys are.
Hey, good for them, man. I remember being a senior. I cut all the time. I did. It didn't even matter.
I did, too. I had 3 lunch periods in you.
Of course. Great. It was unbelievable. I took Japanese my senior year. Like, I really got creative. I took a lot of, like, you know, lunches like you did. I missed a bunch of classes, but I took Japanese.
Did you retain any words?
I think I can still count to 10.
Count us into break to 10.
Ichi, ni, ku. Damn it. Ichi, ni, ku, ju. Ah, damn it. I can only get to, like, 5.
Okay, so don't fulfill.
I thought I did.
Don't give me promises you can't fulfill.
Look, there are certain things I've retained. Like, I'll give you an example. I still know the capital of every state in the United States of America. Try this one. This one will impress you, and that's from earlier in my life. I was in 5th grade.
This is so dweeby.
I'll never forget it, and I still know every capital.
Utah.
Salt Lake City.
How boring of Utah.
Salt Keep Lake going. Come on. Speed it up.
Arizona.
Phoenix.
Arkansas.
Little Rock.
New Hampshire.
Concord.
Vermont.
Montpelier.
I'm a loser.
West Virginia.
Charleston.
Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
New York.
Albany.
New Jersey.
Trenton. You got so dumb you started asking me the easy ones?
I forgot the rest of the stuff.
I think I'm right. I mean, I learned this in the 5th grade, and I'll never forget we had a competition where it was my class versus another class, and a kid would stand up against another kid. They would name a state. First person to name it would win. The loser would get eliminated. So it would be like an elimination tournament. Mm-hmm. It came down to 5 people in the other class, and I was the last one standing. And I knocked them all off one by one until I got, I'll never forget her name. I'll give her a shout out. She's probably out there. Lizette.
Lizette.
That damn Lizette.
It's a hot name.
Okay. It was Ohio. And I got tripped up. For a split freaking second.
Columbus, man.
I was about to say Columbia, which is South Carolina. And the trip up for a second got Lizette the victory. I was about to pull off like this all-timer. And yeah.
Do you think Lizette remembers that?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I mean, she kind of has a unique name, so that it could get back to her. You know, it's very possible.
I'm a loser.
I hope for your sake it doesn't. Because if she's moved on with her life years later and doesn't remember that, it's going to make you look like a sad man.
In fairness to her, what was she there to gain? Like, a bunch of her classmates just blew the lead. So for her, it was like, I just got a victory. I was the one pulling off the miracle comeback. I was the one down 3-0 forcing a seventh game. Are you celebrating the team that holds on to the 3-0 lead?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think she's got anything to be excited about.
A win's a win.
Yeah, but it's different than what I did. I was, dude.
You don't think the Celtics celebrated when they held on to beat the Heat?
Come on. No, not really. Did you see the way I pelted each person off? It's 5-1. Gone, 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 gone. I'm just getting rid of them.
It's the dorkiest thing to care about winning.
I know. I wanted that, man.
I could see.
Now, speaking of the Jets, our last caller, that 17-year-old Cutting, said the Jets are the worst team in all of sports. When we come back, we're going to give the Jets a new opportunity. We will hear from Darren Mougie and Aaron Glenn. They have recently met the media. They are going to tell us the state of the Jets, what their plans are, and we'll see if it makes us feel any better. It is Evan and Tiki featuring Sean Morash.